thank you for hanging out with us and putting up with the technical difficulties that tend to happen sometimes. I think like I have some kind of like some kind of frequency inside of me that messes with technology. I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of what it is probably. But I want to tell you, so as Alex told you as we were talking through the welcome, I am terrible at receiving gifts. If you know anything about me, I'm not a person who likes the limelight, so I will say it to you this way. The only reason I'm here today is because we have an incredible Vine family. God placed me in an incredible family. I was born into a family that is incredible, that loves Jesus, and I wouldn't get to be where I am without him. So I want to say thank you to each and every person who is part of our Vine family, whether you're here once or 50 times, because I want you to know, you're only a guest one time. After that, you're family. So I want you to know, thank you, because the only reason we get to do this all the time is because of that. We have a great, awesome pastoral leadership team that helps us make decisions that are God decisions, that are the right decisions, and we don't get to celebrate year three if we aren't obedient in year one. Am I right? So thank Jesus that we get to be here. And we'll share a little bit more about that. So as your pastor, I want to tell you, because of the Vine and because of our family, I get to follow Jesus better. So thank you for each and every one of you for living that out each and every week. So today, if I start crying, that I also don't do well at gifts because I'll probably start crying and it's going to be really bad. So I'll just be a big blubbering mess and you'll laugh and it'll be worse than the mic not working. So today we're going to be continuing in our series called You Ask For It. And what we're doing in this series is we're answering your most asked questions about the Bible, about God, about the church. And what we do is we vote on those each and every year. Okay? So each and every year we do that. And so we answer the top ones that are there. And so today, we're going to continue in that. But I say this all the time, and we say it all the time, since you are family, family knows each other better. So today, let's get to know each other a little bit better. I'm going to take you on a trip down memory lane, I hope, because I don't know if they do this anymore, but they still do career day in elementary schools. I'm pretty sure they do, right? Does anybody remember those career days, right? And then as you got into middle school and high school, it kind of got a little weird and kind of turned in like a job fair or just, yay, we're out of class, so everybody goes crazy. But like elementary school, how many of you remember doing career day in elementary school? Now, how many of you think back to that, and this is what I want you to tell your neighbor. What did you dress? What was your favorite career that you dressed up as, or your favorite thing when you were in career day growing up in elementary school? Everyone's looking around. What did you dress? Maybe someone was an astronaut. Maybe someone was an Olympian. Maybe someone was president. We're praying for you. Maybe you were an insurance salesman. Praying for you. Whatever that is, like. What was that? What were you? A realtor? Hey, or a lawyer? Think back what your favorite one was. Now, let me ask you this before I answer mine. Are you that today? Most people shake their head, but here's the thing, as God's honest witness here. So growing up in career day for me, I dressed up as two things. Only one year I took a year off, but it kind of counts. I always dressed as a preacher, okay? I wish I could tell you life was perfect and that I lived that out all the way in my life. I haven't. I think the one year I took off, I was a Ghostbuster. So I kind of count that because you go after demons. So it kind of works that way when you're a pastor. So like that was my career day, like all the way through. I was, you know, hello, Ghostbusters. Like I loved that. That was me. So like I just remember growing up, that's what it was. And it's crazy how that works out. But if I'm completely honest, where many of us are right now in our life is we can look back and say, hey, this is where I thought I would be. And I'm not there. And we can struggle. And if 2020 is ever a sign of that, I would say that 2020 is it, right? Because the reason that we have to answer that question and we look back is the reason you ask and walk through that season is the first question you usually ask is the question we're answering today. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? We have so many prayer requests that come in and they walk through this and they ask, what is the meaning of life? So many times that's the question that's asked. So many times that's something that someone is dealing with. And I will tell you, you don't usually ask this question when you're in the highest of highs, do you? It's usually when you're in the lowest of lows. And you're just trying to figure out what this thing is all about. And so today, that's what we're going to unpack. I'm going to tell you today, if you've got your Bible, we're going to be camping out in one space most of the time. We got a couple little jumps before we get there. But we're going to be in Ephesians 6 if you have your Bible today. We're going to look at Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. In Ephesians 6, if you want to get there, I want to let you know our awesome Vine production team, man, they do an incredible job every week. First of all, they have to put up with me every week, so let's be real. But they do an incredible job every week, and we'll make sure that all of the scripture is on the screen today, wherever you are. You can follow us on the Bible app as well, or Bible Hub or Bible Gateway if you're online right now, wherever you are. But I want to tell you, we're going to be in Ephesians 6 and answering this question and look at Paul's life, but we got a pit stop before we get there. We're going to be in John 10, the most familiar verse when it comes to the meaning of life, and then we'll be in John 15 for a second after we talk about Ephesians 6. So go ahead and mark where you are in Ephesians 6, and I want to give you the answer that most of the time you hear when it comes to what is the meaning of life, and it comes from John 10:10. John 10:10, this is the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus said. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, we hear that and we hear have it to the full, and we say the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy, and I have come. Jesus said he came to give us life and give it to the full, but so many times we leave that open to interpretation, don't we? Our idea is full is different than what Jesus is trying to say. Full to some of us may be full belly. Full to some of us may be full bank account. Full to some of us may be full house. Full to some of us may be full car. Full to some of us may be full business deal. Full to some of us is completely different. And when that full is not satisfied, we go to God and say, why am I even here and what am I doing? What is the meaning of life? And that's why we have to know today, we have to know our proper meaning of life so that when we're in this season, whatever it is, we can get through it and finish well. And so realistically, I'm just going to lay my cards on the table 100%. When Jesus is talking about living life and living to the full, he says that this is what the answer to the meaning of life is. What is the meaning of life? To glorify God. To glorify God. I could drop the mic and walk off stage right now. That's it. But you see, it doesn't help. It doesn't help us because we're going to unpack what glorifying God is here in a minute. Like, the life that is full that Jesus died to give us is a life that glorifies God, a life that goes all the way back to the garden. Remember Genesis 1 when it started out, it said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was void and formless, and his spirit hovered over the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it separated the light from the darkness, and that was the first day. And it goes all the way to the sixth day, and what does he say about the sixth day? What does he do on the sixth day? He says, let us make man in what? Our image, in my image. We are the only thing that walks this earth that is the image of God. That is why we are made to glorify him. Not our pets, not our creatures, not our cars, not our houses, not our jobs. There is nothing else on this earth that is made in the image of God. We are made to glorify him in all that we do. And so for each and every one of us, when we understand that, when 2020 hits, when 2020 season comes in our life, it's so much easier to walk through it, because when we go back to the garden, we see what we did. See, we live to glorify ourselves, not to glorify God. We thought a piece of fruit was worth so much more than being fully who we were made to be. That's what happened to us, and we're born into that. But you see, we serve a God that loves us enough that he would rather die than not be in relationship with us. He would give all that he had just so that we could be in that full life and glorify him in all that we do. Because he knew that if his glory is revealed in us, the world will have hope, the hope of Christ, no matter what it throws at him, no matter what it throws at us. No matter what it throws at him, her, whatever, no matter what it throws, when we live to glorify God and we understand that that is our meaning, then we can be exactly who he created us to be, which is to be in relationship with him. So how do we glorify God? Simply this: obedience. That easy and that hard. We've been talking a lot about that. We talked about it a few weeks ago when we said, love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourself. How we are all made in the image of God. Red, yellow, black, and white, precious in his sight. We are called to glorify God by walking in obedience. And here's the thing. Our obedience is going to look different. 100%. But when we do it together, unified as one, my goodness, 2020 is just a blip on the radar. A blip on the radar. to living out all that God created us to be. Because here's the thing, once again, when Jesus said, John 10:10, live life to the full, we think following Jesus is this: for our success, our status, and our prosperity, don't we? And I hate to tell you, I'm just going to be real today. I'm so sorry for the person that sold you that bill of goods because they had a plane to buy. And I'm going to be real with you. That breaks my heart because Jesus didn't die for us to be prosperous. Jesus died so that we could have life and have it to the full. We could live out glorifying God in all that we do. It's so much more than what this earth can ever offer. But yet when we're not successful and that fullness feels like it's going and slipping through our hands, we say, God, what are you doing? My goodness, when I do that to him, I'm so thankful that he loves me more than I love myself. Because I'm telling you right now, man, oh man, parents with children, imagine if your children did that to you. What would you do? I see some discipline, sparing the rod, spoiling the child here. I see some discipline happening. But thank God that he loves me enough, that he allows me to continue to do what he says that he's called me to do. And so what does obedience look like? Realistically, it's listening to Jesus and doing what he says. And you hear that a lot. James talks about it that way. But realistically, obedience is this: being faithful to the end. Being faithful to the end. Parents, isn't it just so awesome when your children listen to you, and they do, and they heeded your warning, and they listen to you? Children, we take that for granted. I'm going to tell you right now, we do. Hey, that person that mom and dad says you don't need to be with, there's a reason. Hey, that thing that mom and dad says you don't need to waste your money on, there's a reason. I'm telling you, there's a reason. Heed it. Heed their advice. Because God's doing the same thing, and he's calling us to glorify him, to be obedient, because it's not about us. And so what I want us to see, what Paul's letter in Ephesians 6 is going to show us, is no matter what this world throws at us, we can live out our meaning for glorifying God by walking in obedience, no matter what this world throws at us. So if you're in Ephesians 6, we're going to start in verse 19 and see how Paul lives out what he was made to do. He says this in verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I pray for that every time that I have this opportunity that I'm not even worthy to be up here to do. Verse 20, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may also know how I am doing and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Now you say, why in the world are we sharing this when we talk about the meaning of life? Well, let's look at Paul. Paul starts out, where is Paul when he writes this? He's in prison. He's in chains. He wants to go to the Ephesian church, but he can't. Now, Paul, now if you remember Paul's story really quickly in a nutshell, you can read about it in Acts if you want to go back there. But Paul started out as Saul. Okay, and Saul did what all Jewish boys would have done when he grew up. He went to trade school and he went to Hebrew school. The funny thing is he went to trade school and he learned tent making, but he went to Hebrew school and was like top notch. Like he was the guy. He was the guy. Like he went out there and he was valedictorian. Like he got all the laws right. So much so he said, I tell you what, this thing that's called the church, the way that is Jesus, I'm going to persecute it and I'm going to kill everyone that is a Christian or says that they're a Christian because this church doesn't need to be here. So much so he did that and he thought he was living out his meaning of life, and God met him on the way to Damascus and he said, hey, listen, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm the way, the truth, the light. I'm the one that fulfills the law so that each and every person can have salvation, can have life. And on his way, Paul says, okay, he surrenders his life. He's blind. I mean, when you're blind and you're led by something, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to listen to what something says to you, right? Like, he listens to Jesus. He gives his life to Jesus. And Jesus says, this is what I'm going to do for you. You're going to be my mouthpiece to the Gentiles. Now, think of Paul. He becomes Paul. He was once Saul. And think of this. He's like, man, I thought I was just going to get rock star status in Jerusalem. dude, I'm going to be worldwide famous. Like, I'm going to fill up stadiums. There are going to be people coming to Jesus all over the known world at the time. I'm going to tear up every Roman road. Everywhere I go, there are going to be people confessing Jesus is Lord. I'm going to be a rock star evangelist. And so he sets out to do that, and he plants churches. Yet, he follows Jesus in obedience, and he finds himself in a prison. Would you say he had questions? Would you say he questioned the meaning of life? Would you say that he was at a moment that said, God, I was just doing what you called me to do. I was just being obedient. Why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this hard time? Why in the world am I in chains? And yet, he continues to be faithful to the end, all the way through. Paul's most, the most effective evangelism that Paul did was when he was in a prison cell and he lost his freedom. The worst thing he did to glorify himself as when he was out in the world persecuting Christians. So here's what I'm trying to get to you when it comes to the meaning of life, and you're in this season that is 2020, and you're asking, what if this season is the one where God wants to do the greatest work possible in you, but you're so busy living to glorify yourself that you're missing out on it? Where Paul is saying, hey, even though I'm in chains, dude, whoever's chained to me is going to hear about Jesus wherever I go. It ain't going to stop me. And it's not going to stop me to glorifying him. It's not going to stop me being obedient, because I know the things of this world can't overcome me. And he told me what he's called me to do. And I'm going to get the word out to the Gentiles. I'm going to go live out glorifying him in obedience, whatever he's called me to do. And so for each and every one of us, my question when we come to this is this. Are you living your life with you in control or God in control? Are you living your life to glorify God or glorify you? Because I want to tell you something. You and me, we're a disaster. We're narcissistic, selfish, born that way. And if you don't believe that, tell me what. I'll tell you this. Parents, you know where the good snacks are hidden. Don't lie. You know where they are. And that's why when you're grandparents, you put the good snacks out for the grandkids to get. I'm just saying, we're born narcissistic. The reason I know that is we cry until we get our way as a child. We are born selfish, born into sin, born to glorify ourselves. It's all about us from the beginning. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful I'm not in charge of my life, because I would have been dead a long time ago, a long, long time ago. Because you know what? Nine-year-old me wanted pancakes and cupcakes every day. And nine-year-old me wanted everything. And I still don't like birthday cake, because who won't spit on the cake? Praise God for COVID, because now you ain't going to spit on my candles. So I'm just saying, right now, if it was up to me and I was trying to glorify me, there's no way I get to be here today. But by God's grace, he is faithful. Even when I was unfaithful, he is faithful all the way back to that little boy who carried his blanket, wearing that suit, saying, this is what God called me and made me to do. And my friend, for each and every one of us, the question for us is, will we continue in the disaster of glorifying ourselves, or will we try to live out glorifying God? Because the thing is, if we live for ourselves, we will all have the same destination in the end. And it's a 6-foot hole, it's a pine box, and it will be a tombstone with our name on it, and we'll hope that somebody takes care of it. But if we live to glorify God, it will outlast us. It will be a 500-year plan. It will be something that goes into eternity. And so for each and every one of us, as we celebrate these 3 years at the Vine, if there's anything that I want for you, it's to live out glorifying God more than anything you do in this season. We can glorify God. We can glorify God like never before. When I say each and every one of you are we're disasters without Jesus, it made me think about this. And I love Tony Robbins. That's okay. He's got some great motivational speaker. But the worst thing that you can ever do is go deep in yourself to discover yourself. It's the number one way to destroy yourself, because you can't find yourself in yourself. You can only find your true self in Christ. 100%. 100% in Christ. That's it. And so for us, we have to say this. The gospel in our life is offensive. Jesus says we got to deny us to follow him. And the question is, when we get up in the morning, are we looking to glorify us? Or are we looking to glorify him? Because if we're living to glorify him, we're going to deny us to live out glorifying him, to be all that he created us to be. When I think about where we are right now, even as a generation, and it comes with this question 100%, we are so entitled. We think God owes us an answer for something before we take a step, don't we? But here's what I love about children following Jesus. We have some that are walkers right now, right? We see some littles that are starting to learn to walk. Did they ask your permission if they could start walking? No, they just figured it out, right? And they went and they started taking that step. They started taking those next steps. That's what living a life of glorifying God is. When I say we're entitled, we think God has to give us an answer. But the older I get, the more I learn, God may tell us where the destination is, but he ain't gonna tell us every turn on how to get there. He just calls us to be obedient. What does obedience look like? Being faithful, faithful to the end. Because right now in the world we live in, we're stuck in a paralysis of choices. We have so many choices. The internet was supposed to help us make better decisions, and I think it's made it worse. I think it's made it worse. Hey, I will tell you, even as me, I'm not married yet, but I will tell you, growing up, if I would have been this old and not married, there would have been so many crazy things. They would have said, he's off in the priesthood somewhere. Like, there's something crazy. What I'm getting at is, growing up, two generations ago, you married one of the 12 girls that wasn't your first cousin or your sister. That used to be what it was. Like, let's be real. That's how it was. Now we have all these apps and all these things and all these online things to try to find people. It's just not that way. We're in a paralysis of choice. And we say, God, show me who she is. Give me your name. He's saying, be faithful to the end. I look back. This is how I know that. This is how I know this. Abraham. What did he tell Abraham? I'm going to give you a land where you have not yet pitched your tent. And I will make your descendants as great as the stars in the sky. And all of the world will be blessed through them. Abraham didn't have no kids. God said, just follow me. Was Abraham faithful to the end? Absolutely not. He messed up, but God was. So much so that when Moses came along, he told Moses, hey, you're going to lead my people out of 400 years of slavery, and you're going to lead them into the land I swore on oath to Abraham that I was going to give them, the promised land. Now, do you think Moses is like, dude, jam up 100, that's a 10-day journey. Like, I can do this, sign me up, that's a two-week vacation. 40 years later, he finally sees it with his own eyes. So much so, think of King David, the man after God's own heart. He said, hey, I'm gonna anoint you king, but I ain't gonna tell you that Saul's gonna try to kill you every step along the way, that the guy that you're taking over for is gonna be throwing spears at you, and he's gonna try to kill you at every turn and make you go into hiding and go hide in a cave while I prepare you to be king when I pull you out of the sheep pen. But David was called to be faithful to the end. Was he perfect? Absolutely not, but we know him as a man after God's own heart, because he wanted to live his life to glorify God and try to be faithful to the end. What I'm trying to tell you right now is that's what God is calling us to do. Walk in obedience by just being faithful to the end. I got to share this Thursday, so I'm going to say it again, so act surprised for the folks who heard it Thursday, but here we go. Any fool can get married. We put so much in the wedding day. It's not about the wedding day. It's about where you were faithful at the end. It's when you took your last breath. Was it till death did you part or not? Anybody can search for a career and hold out for a position. But God says, will you step into this opportunity being faithful, working as unto me, not unto man? Will you be faithful to the end? Will you be faithful? This career decision you have, this work, this relationship, this next step, whatever it is, God's just saying, be faithful to the end and watch what I do. But so many times we stay stuck and say, okay, God, here are my demands if I'm going to take this step. I need X amount in the bank. I need X amount of things going with me. I need this and I need this. Now, you're the God of everything, are you not? So let's make it happen. Chop, chop, and we go along, and we'll stay stuck, and we'll make an excuse to stay stuck, and then we'll keep asking ourselves, what's the meaning of life? And God is saying, hey, just be obedient. Be faithful to the end. Be faithful to the end. Be faithful to the end. Because if you're resting in yourself, it's impossible to be faithful. Every one of those men I mentioned in the Bible, Abraham was unfaithful because he tried to glorify himself and save his life, and he gave his wife Sarah away to Pharaoh. Then he tried to glorify himself and went and had a wife, went and had a baby with another woman. Right? He tried to glorify himself, but then when he finally lived to glorify God, when God told him, hey, take your son up to the top of this mountain and give him to him, God spared him, and he got to experience what real life was all about. Moses, the same way. David, the same way. All the way through, when they tried to glorify themselves is when they went to a great fall, but when they glorified God and lived in obedience, being faithful to the end, they got to experience something that we still talk about to this day. My friends, thousands of years ago, thousands, whatever you look at thousands of years ago is what we're talking about today. So for each and every one of us, before I go on my rant, I'm sorry I'm ranting a little bit, but it's real. It's just kind of been in my heart when we ask this question when it comes to being faithful to the end. As I was getting ready for this as well this week, I was, how many folks do the Enneagram? I'm not there yet. Okay, I'm on the cusp of millennials. I get it. I'm supposed to be the front end, but I tend to be I'm honestly probably like a baby boomer in my mindset. I know that's crazy, but I just skip past generation X and Y, even though I was born on that, but I'll be real with you. So the Enneagram is used to actually, a lot of Christians use it to show where you struggle with sin and help you relate to people better to try to live that out. So I'm not bashing that, but hear me out. This is where I think we can be stuck in paralysis here. We want a job, a career, that fulfills the yearning of my soul, your soul, when it comes to that. Like, it just fulfills my personality and just, and then listen, God will use that. I'm not telling you he can't. But the problem is, two generations ago, there was a Great Depression. And do you think my great-grandfather cared what job he had? He just wanted to put food on the table. He had mouths to feed. It didn't matter if it fulfilled the yearning of his soul. He just did it to live out his purpose of leading his family, of leading and providing and being faithful to what God had called him to do. And it's why I get to stand here today. So I'm saying, hey, maybe you're stuck in a work decision. Enneagram, awesome, not bashing it. Don't hate me. Send the hate mail, that's fine too. Doesn't matter, I've got a junk folder. So all of that to say, when it comes to that, use it as a tool, but don't use it as an excuse. And so many times in our entitlement, the tools God's given us to be all he made us to be, we'll use as an excuse, won't we? Moses said, hey, I know you called me, but I can't talk well. He said, yep, there's your brother Aaron. Let him go out there with you. God will just keep going if you'll just be faithful to the end. So here's what I wanted to share with you when it came to that, being faithful to the end. So maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Before we move on, when we talk about the meaning of life, many folks don't know this about me. So I'll say, my father was killed by a drunk driver when I was 3. His father passed away when he was but a baby. And so I will go back generations when it comes to this and living out this. My Ma Seal worked in the mill, worked to provide for her family. My mother worked to provide for the family. My grandma Arlene worked until she could retire. My Papa Joe was disabled. He worked everywhere he could, took care of us. My Papa Hawkins, which my great-grandfather, worked in the mills all the way through, was a manager in the mills back in the day. Here's what I'm trying to get at when it comes to that. This is why I'm terrible at gifts. Any good thing you see from me today or any good word you get from that was because of their faithfulness to be all that God created them to be. I don't deserve to get to be here, but by God's grace, I get to. And so you may think today that your faithfulness does not matter, and I'm living proof it does. Because every time I choose to be unfaithful, God remained faithful. Because here's the thing. See, my daddy could preach. My daddy, here's the thing that when I say this is the sovereignty of God, I'm thankful that I'm not in control of my life because of the sovereignty of God. If you want to know that he is real and that he is alive, I'm standing here as living proof he is. My dad was a mile away from my house when he was killed, on his way to pick me up, 5 minutes from being in that car. It wasn't for no reason. So whatever you're walking through, the sovereignty of God is over you. You just have to surrender to it. And so what I'm telling you is I'm so thankful that I'm not in control of my life, because if I was, that would have been my excuse and I would be in jail right now and I would be the one with a record and I would be the one mad at God, throwing things at God, telling God how he didn't love me. But instead, by his great grace, he said, I'm going to show you how much I love you, son. And it may not be the life that you chose and it may not be the life that you want for your child, but I'm telling you, it's the life he chose for me. And it's the one that I'm thankful for. And so for you, wherever you are, the thing is, if you try to glorify yourself, all of those little things like that, those little blips, 2020 will be something on the radar when you look at your life. It'll be an excuse, or it'll be the fuel that propels you into being all that God created you to be. And so for each and every one of us, I want you to know, wherever you are, Paul is saying there in Ephesians 6, he's saying, I trust God's sovereignty over my life so much that even if I have to be in chains for it, I know it's God's best for me. You want to talk about obedience? That's obedience. Paul's obedience is why we, as a church around the world, get to know who Jesus is, get to connect the dots from the Old Testament to the New Testament. His obedience, being faithful to the end. He's saying, I know that this is God's best for me. And so what I'm trying to tell you is if you're not living to glorify God, you don't think 2020 is God's best for you. And you want living proof that it is, you're about to take your next breath. He's not done. He's not done. When you search for the meaning of life, he's not done. Because the thing is, if you're in Christ Jesus, if he is done, we'd be up there with him. We'd be up there with him. And you know what? I can't wait till that day. But I hear so many people talk about, I'm so ready for the Lord's return. And I've shared this a million times. I'm not yet. I know he's got so much more for me to do. I can't wait. I'll go when he calls me. But it ain't time yet. There's too many people who don't know who he is. And I will live my entire life being faithful to the end to point to him in all that I do. I'm not perfect, but he is. And so for us, that's how we have to live. And right now, I know life may seem difficult. I know life may seem out of control, and it may seem like God is distant and God doesn't feel like he's there. But I'm telling you, he is, because only in him is it the safest place to drown. What am I trying to tell you? The drown in the trials of the Lord. Drown in the circumstances. Drown in 2020 and try to rescue yourself, and you will surely die. But if you will wrap your arms around the Father who loves you, you can take on anything that comes your way, because you're living to glorify God. But when you live to glorify yourself, you have no one throwing you a lifeline. So when you say, what's the meaning of life? It's to glorify God. That's why here at the Vine Church, John 15, 5 is what we are built on, what we stand on. And it says this, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He is the only thing and the only reason we get to be here, because we exist to glorify him in all that we do. He is the vine. He is our source. He is our hope. He is our life. Nothing else. We can't be connected to anything else and have life. But being connected to him, we can. So much so, this is why I want to celebrate that when we talk about 3 years and talk about the faithfulness of those around us. Because each and every one of us can see, since 2017, we've been a part of 14 salvations, 4 baptisms, and $112,551 sown into global missions. Like, that is crazy. If you can't give the Lord a hand of that. Listen, this is what blows my mind with that. This is what blows my mind. I bet some of us are looking at that right now saying, they still meet in a gym. And I could do a lot more with $112,000. I mean, I'd get a couple cars. I mean, what could I get with $112,000? We're called to be faithful to the end. God's called us to do that. So much so that it works out to be about 36% of all tithes and offerings received go straight out to being sowed into global missions, when God's only called us to do 15. Faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. That is what we're gonna be. Because you know what? When it comes to this, what blows my mind, I look back to last year. This time last year, we were celebrating $66,000 sold into global missions. So do the math. What took us 2 years, God's just about done that full amount in a year. And to be quite honest with you, I don't count them till the check's clear. We don't count them till they clear. So there actually is more than that there. What took us 2 years, God did in a year in the middle of a pandemic. Tell me God's not faithful. Tell me God's not sovereign. Tell me God's not moving. Tell me God isn't at work, because I know better. And what I want for each and every one of us to see is that 100%, wherever you are in your life, he is there. The question is, will you keep trying to glorify yourself? Because glorifying yourself would be, well, that's it. We reached the finish line. We saw salvation. We saw baptisms. We gave some stuff away. And I love Oprah's phrase back in the day, and you get it, money, and you get this, and you get that. That isn't who we are. We want, there's 5 billion people who don't have this hope. We can share it, but we got to walk in obedience. And when we do, we can be all he created us to be. Because this small gathering in a YMCA is able to do that. Is able to do that by God's grace. By his grace and his sovereignty. So the reason I'm sharing all this with you is to once again remind you, what is the meaning of life? to glorify God. Paul wrote that in Ephesians 6, and it's one of my favorite parts of that Ephesian letter that he writes. He says that, he goes and he tells them, if you look back at it, he says this, he wants to let them know how he is. He's sending Tychicus there in verse 21, if you want to look back there, so that you may know how I am, know what I'm doing, and that he may encourage you. If you look at New King James, it says, encourage your hearts, your cardia, your desire, your affection, to be who God created you to be. You see, the thing is, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6, if you want to look back, it's verse 21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. Not your heart is, your treasure will follow. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. See, we think so many times we make our decisions up here, but we don't. We make them from here. Our decisions come up here and our minds react to what we're chasing, what our treasure is. And if our treasure is ourself, it will die with us. It will die with us. But if our treasure is the Lord, it will live on for eternity. And what I want you to know today, no matter where you are, if Jesus isn't your treasure, you're missing out on a full life. Because that's why Christians can stand up in 2020 and say, I don't care what's going on around us. I don't care what this world throws at us. I don't care what's going to happen, because with all my might, I'm going to walk in obedience, loving God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and loving my neighbor as myself. I don't care how much they spit on me. I don't care how much they hate me. I don't care how much they disagree with me. I don't care who they vote for. I don't care what car they drive. I don't care even if they care about energy efficiency or they have solar panels. It does not matter to me, because I'm going to love them. Why? Because Jesus loved me. When I did nothing to deserve it. I did nothing to earn it. Jesus didn't save me for a sob story. He didn't save me because I deserve saving. He didn't save me because he had pity on me. He saved me because I was destined for death and hell, and he made a way for me to have life. That is why he saved me. And my friends, if you are in Christ Jesus, he did the same for you. And what we get to show the world through our love is that. 2020 is a season where all the things we've glorified ourselves with, he is crumbling and making fall to the ground, so that we can show the world who he is and what he is building. So after this, I want you to see, if you're trying to glorify yourself, it's only going to lead to death. Because the folks that glorify themselves usually have something hidden the most. I always heard the ones who go in there who start the lie, they have to continue to lie, to feed the lie, so much so they can't even keep control of it anymore, and they lose their self along the way. That's what happens if you glorify yourself. But if you're in Christ Jesus, man, you can show your limp. And isn't that great? Isn't that awesome that you don't have to be perfect when you're in Christ Jesus, because he already is? You can just be who he created you to be. You don't have to worry about a show. You don't have to worry about fake. You don't have to worry about what people think. You just got to point to him. And I don't know about you, but that's the most freeing thing in the world. Is it not? I mean, come on. I don't have to be anything but what he created me to be. And so today, that's the question I want to leave you with. Are you living to glorify yourself? Are you living to glorify God? Because if you're living to glorify yourself, it'll never add up. You can't save yourself. You can't. Your good works. Man, you could be born in a church pew, never walk out of it like christened right there, baptized, just right there, born right there in the church pew. Serve, tithe, give, show up all the time. Man, you unlock, turn on the church lights, turn off the church lights, serve the kids, change the dirty diapers, deal with the teenagers throwing stuff at you, praise God, eating all the snacks, they know. Like, whatever that is, all the way through, 100%, and it still won't save you. It won't, because you're trying to measure up, and I just want to tell you, you and I both never could. Never could. But God loved us enough that he made a way, that he sent his son to live the perfect life we couldn't live, die the death we deserve for our sins on the cross, bore the wrath of that for us, but loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we could have life and have it to the full. And so, as I wrap up today, I just want to ask you this. What Matthew 16, 24 through 26 tells us is today, if you're living to glorify yourself, here's the opportunity for you to finally walk in freedom and have life and live it to the full. Jesus says it this way. Then Jesus said to his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? I just want to ask you, if you're trying to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to surrender your life to Jesus, you'll finally find it. So with every head bow and every eye closed, I want to ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me for the benefit of those coming to the faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that will save you, but the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. That's what we're going to be praying, that all of us are sinners in need of a Savior, and that Jesus is our Savior, and only in him can we have life and redemption for the death that we deserve for our sins. So I'm gonna ask everyone to please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve for my sin on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time you have given your life to Jesus, I'm gonna count to three and ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you can say for the first time that you have given your life to Jesus, if you're watching online right now, if you can say for the first time you've given your life to Jesus, you're going to see a hand that's raised. Click on that. We want to pray with you. We want to celebrate with you, because I want to tell you the only way that you're going to have a full life is in Christ Jesus. If you're listening throughout the week, I would ask that you reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. We would love to celebrate with you. And for everyone else, you can go ahead and look up. Thank you for those who responded. We're about to sing a song about the victory we have in Christ. That no matter what comes our way, we have got victory because we're living to glorify God, not ourselves. So in this moment of worship, I'm going to ask you to sing like you're walking in victory. Not prosperity, not success, victory. Sing like you get to walk in victory. Worship like you get to walk in victory. And let's lift up our voices as one to glorify God like never before. So please stand.
I'm not backing down from any giant.
Listen, like, I will tell you this as we get ready to wrap up, and I'm going to try to hold it together, so we're good. So hang in here. The victories that we get to experience is only from Christ. And I want to tell you, if you didn't get anything out of today, I will tell you, the faithfulness of my great-grandparents are why I get to stand here. The faithfulness of the giants and the saints that stood before me and the shoulders that I get to stand on is why I get to stand here and be faithful to the end. For our pastoral leadership, for Alex, Brittany, and Nate, and for Joel and Perrette, who aren't here with us today, we miss you guys. We love you. We thank you for all that you do. For Mike and Elizabeth that are down in Florida, for Tim and Olivia, for our pastoral team, for all of our Vine fam, for David and Marla leading worship every week, Zach always here, crushing this trailer, making it happen. For all of our Vine fam, I know I wish I could go through all of you, and I probably will in a moment, just hang in here with me, but I want to tell you today we're here because it's a product of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. We have the staff and associate sponsored Ford out there that drives the trailer. We laugh at that. But anyway, we have that every week for real. Thank you for your faithfulness. If you think that your faithfulness today won't last for generations, I'm living proof. It would have been easy probably for my mother to give up after my dad passed away and not work, but she worked all the way through. It would have been easy to say I couldn't spend time with my son because I worked, but she found a way. She made a way. It would have been easy for my family just to give up on God, to go do a life that fulfilled themselves, but they didn't. I'm standing here because of faithfulness. So I want you to know today, wherever you are, maybe you've been planning that faithfulness in your family member. You're not seeing it in front of you. It's just getting watered. That seed's getting buried. That ground is going on top of it, and the manure, the fertilizer that you're walking through is going to help that thing grow. So church, I'm so thankful that I can say without a doubt when I get to stand before the Lord that we're going to live faithful to the end. This is going to go long past us. The vine isn't something that we're just trying to see in our generation. This is something that's going to go well beyond us into eternity, because we're going to live our life to glorify God and everything that we do, and walk in faithful obedience. And so today, I hope that your heart would be encouraged, that whatever you're walking through, God is faithful. God is faithful, and he's gonna see you through it. And so, I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna celebrate and have some fun today. So, I believe in lunch, so I know that happens, you can tell. So hang in there, believe in lunch, so we're gonna have that happen. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for that we get to be here. Thank you for every sower. I mean, I think of Jeremy, Alyssa, and Alex, and Brittany leading our Spur ministry, and Joel and Perrette leading our Vine Kids, and our worship and our production, and everything that's there. Jesus, we don't do it for us. Like, we're not trying to get our name up on shining lights. We're not trying to put our name on credits on a screen or do anything else. Jesus, we just want your name to be famous. We just want you to gain the most fame. Jesus, we want our lives to reflect you so much that every encounter, the darkness comes into us and with us, that we are so bright with your light that darkness is afraid and darkness runs from us. Jesus, I pray that everything we do as we go out into the world, we walk in faithful obedience, even if it means the one thing we don't want, like Paul was, being in chains. You're working it out for our good and for your glory. So Jesus, today I pray that we would live that out. Thank you for each and every sower that's here. Thank you for all of our Vine worship team. They do so incredible, Jesus, each and every week. We have such awesome, awesome, talented people here, Jesus. But once again, it's for you. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for making us one family. And Jesus, I pray whoever's searching for family online, that they would find it in you, because we are one family together, your church around the world. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Y'all join us next week as we wrap up You Ask For It and answer the question, are we one nation under God? It's going to be fun.